Hey there, happy 2019. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we'll be hearing from singer and songwriter KT Tunstall. But before we get started, I want to tell you about one of Team This Song's intentions for 2019. And in order to make this intention happen, we need your help. You see, we want to make another This Song listener episode. So if you have a story about a song that changed you in some way, then please record it to a voice memo and send it to us. We're at thissong@kutx.org. We can't wait to hear what you have to say. And now to KT Tunstall. She's a singer and a songwriter and a guitar player who's been putting out music since 2004 when she released her first record, Eye to the Telescope. And since then, she has been consistently making music for the world to hear. Like, in addition to releasing records, she's also composed music for films. You can hear her songs in movies like Winter's Tale, Tinkerbell and the Legend of the Never Beast, and the movie Bad Moms. She's a really prolific artist. Last October, she released her 6th full-length studio album, Wax, and it's actually the second record in a trilogy that focuses on spirit, body, and mind. Kin, which came out in 2016, is the spirit record. It's got a real pop sensibility about it. And Wax, well, it's a very different record from Kin. It's guitar-driven and rock-oriented. But KT Tunstall, she's not afraid to shift styles and genre. In fact, it's something she's been doing her whole career. I spoke to her by phone, and she told me about a song and an artist who showed her that change could be a very good thing.
The song I remember really changing me that I heard when I was young was Loser by Beck. I was 18 years old. My dad had quite recently got a satellite dish, and he was always trying to watch the sport, and I pretty soon discovered MTV. And I just remember seeing the video and hearing the music for that song and just feeling immediately changed.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins and mouth to cut the chuggy with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose.
So I grew up in the 80s. I was an 80s kid. And so I grew up on Wham, George Michael, Whitney Houston, Madonna, Michael Jackson. And although I loved their music, they weren't artists that I looked at and thought, oh, I could do that. I want to do that as well. They were kind of other. They were otherworldly. They were superstars. And a lot of that pop stuff growing up wasn't really about playing. It was about singing and about amazing music videos and production and fashion. So when I saw the video for Loser, it was just so real and so lo-fi. And I hadn't really seen anything like that. And I'd certainly never heard anything like that. And I was playing guitar by that point, and I playing acoustic guitar. But I never really related entirely to the kind of confessional open mic singer-songwriter thing. It didn't feel like my musical spiritual home. I was much more interested in rhythm and in blues music and in rock music. So I think what I latched onto with this song and with the video was this originality, and there was a sense of humor with it. You know, he's singing, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? And that's not what everybody else was singing at the time. But also that there he was standing in thrift shop clothing, playing an acoustic guitar. And I was like, yo, that's me.
Well, and you said that you really, like, your heart was really not with emotional singer-songwriter kind of music, but that is such a trope for for women, especially women with acoustic guitars. Was that something that you started doing, or from the beginning, was that not something that you were into?
It's an interesting subject that I've never actually been asked about before, which is really interesting. Because all of my records do have very emotional, usually guitar-led, softer ballads on them, which is definitely part of my Venn diagram. But I think I've never enjoyed the idea of being limited to one type of music. And it's another reason why I have been so passionately following Beck's career since then, and probably more than any other artist I know, all of his material. Because he'll go from, I can't remember exactly the chronology of the records, but he'll go from Odelay to Mutations to Midnight Vultures. Where's that?
Nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own.
The reason that it works is because it's him. So you're listening to his voice, you're listening to his words, you're listening to his creative decision making. And I just trusted my whole career that's enough. And it doesn't mean that you have to churn out the same stuff, which I couldn't do. I wouldn't be interested in doing that. So I think my concern was not to be completely separated from that more emotional, traditional singer-songwriter fare, but just to not be limited by it. I think it's been a massive influence on my musical creative decision making and on my confidence to follow whatever flavor interests me. And that it's not just a journey for me, it's a journey for fans to see what one person can do in adventuring into different corners of music. And it's certainly not necessarily a very wise commercial decision, I've discovered, because people often just want the same thing from you. You do lose fans if you do an album that's outside of what they love you for, you know? But it was always worth it for me. It's never been a regret to be diverse in what I've made. I think the important thing, I had a really lovely chance meeting with Pete Souza, the photographer, yesterday. Pete Souza was obviously the White House photographer for 8 years for Obama and had been for Reagan as well. And he was asked in his interview if he had a favorite photograph. And he said, no, I don't have a favorite photograph, but I do have several hundred favorite shots I've taken. But he said the important thing is having a love affair with your body of work. And I really related to that, because I want anybody whose interest is piqued by whatever I'm doing, wherever it comes from. It might come from singing on the Tinkerbell movie for Disney, or writing the song for a Colin Farrell movie, Winter's Tale, or maybe an album track that's used in a TV show off the new album or something. But I want that person to then find a treasure trove of really interesting work, and a lot of it, you know, not just three good songs on a record. So I think that's what Beck's offered me, really, is that when I look at the stack of records of his that I have, I'm like, wow, that is proper soundtracks to different parts of your life. So why don't you kill me?
Like I said, Katie Tunstall's newest record, Wax, is the second in a trilogy of records centered around the ideas of soul, body, and mind. And these records, they came after a period in her life that was very intense and left her not wanting to be Katie Tunstall at all.
I'd gone through some pretty difficult stuff in my life. My dad had died. I got divorced very soon after that. it was a huge wake up call to just a general level of unhappiness in my life that I had been in denial about, and just didn't really know who I was without that name and without the job. And I knew that that was bad news. And I knew that standing in a multi-million pound house with a nice car and a husband and a career that I'd said I'd wanted and not being happy was really bad news. And that was something that I could have carried on doing and ended up in a really bad place, or just pulled the plug, and which is what I did, and sold everything I owned and moved to Venice Beach, California, and started again. And so when I came to write Kim, you know, it was from a completely new place. I was a new person. And of course, that record was produced by Tony Hoffer, who was one of Beck's early bandmates and producer of Guero, which is arguably one of my favorite Beck records, and Midnight Vultures.
This is It Took Me So Long to Get Here, But Here I Am, from KT Tunstall's Kin. And yeah, you can hear it. This is a pop record. Her latest record, Wax, however, has a completely different feel. It's a rock record. And as KT told me, that is very much by design.
I knew I needed to make a rock record because it's always been a really essential element of my live show. It's a very rock and roll show. It would always really frustrate me that people would come up to me after shows and say, "Oh, I love your records, but your show is amazing." And I'd be like, "Damn, that's so annoying. Like, what am I not capturing on record that people are experiencing when I play live?" And I think there's always been this very rock and roll spirit to how I approach what I do and how I perform. And the long and short of it is it's just extremely difficult to capture that when you're in a studio environment and you're in a room that's soundproofed and you have headphones on and there's no audience and you're trying to record something that's going to be used as the representation of that piece of work for the rest of time. And it's a really weird and often uncomfortable situation. And I've kind of resigned myself now that when it comes to making my own records, this isn't true of doing other music, but when it comes to making my own records, I'm much happier in a very lo-fi, small, dirty little studio than I am in a big, expensive one. And with this record, I'd met Nick McCarthy from Franz Ferdinand. He'd left the band and was interested in doing production and writing and other things. And so Nick kind of almost instantly became a new writing partner, which was superb. Great news, you know. And he's got this studio in London, which is just this garage with a bunch of amazing old guitars and amps and analog synths and not a lot of room to move around. So, yeah, it was perfect. I know you love.
Was there anything that you guys did in the small studio that helped you kind of get into that energy?
100%. Well prompted. I recorded a lot of this album without headphones on. The way that it was set up was I would be in the control room with the desk and the engineer Seb, who also co-produced, with my electric guitar. My electric guitar amp was in the toilet. Nick was in the control room with me, but he was on headphones, and his bass amp was in with the drums, and the drummer's in the drum room, and I'm hearing everything basically partly from bleed coming through the door because it doesn't fit properly, and partly from the desk being turned up a little bit so that I'm able to hear what I'm doing. And the technical problem with that is that everything bleeds onto every other microphone. So the microphone that's picking up the guitar amp is getting me singing. My vocal mic is basically getting everything. So you can't go in and edit that stuff. You can't fix mistakes because you can hear it, because everything's being recorded at the same time. So you can't really employ those computer tricks in the same way, which is great because I always work better under pressure, always have. And so having that pressurized environment makes it thrilling in the same way as it can feel when you play live. You're basically playing live. There's definitely something in limitations being the kind of a fertile ground for creativity. I think when you've got everything you could ever want at your fingertips, you can end up getting lost, fiddling about with stuff that doesn't really matter. And actually giving yourself some limitations can be quite expanding. And the night that Bowie died was one that stuck out on the record, because we just started recording and I'd forgotten that there was a step on the inside of the studio door, and I'd run in to get my phone or something, and I fell off the step into the studio and really twisted my ankle quite badly, and I'm just lying on the floor groaning, going, oh no, I can't, I need to stand up and play, and you know, what am I going to do? And so my friend was like, I can't remember what the rule is, but you basically raise your foot, ice it, and don't walk on it for as long as possible. So they put me in a chair, in like a lazy boy chair, got another chair with my foot higher, you know, I put my foot on the back of the other chair, wrapped it with a big bag of ice from the corner shop, and then they just stuck a mic in front of me while I'm sitting in this chair with my leg up covered in ice, and put the guitar on me, and we just went for a take on Bowie, the Bowie song, and that was the take. And we were kind of joking around, and then at the end of it, I was like, that was really good. And we listened back, and I was like, well, maybe sometimes you actually do need to be in physical pain to get the best performance. We're just floating in space. It's the strangest thing. Feels like you're near, standing by my side. Almost like you're here. The whole world gave a sigh, like the night that Bowie died.
Well, I'm wondering, in the true spirit of Beck, is the third record going to be just its own thing?
So it will be its own thing in the same way that Kin and Wax are their own thing, which, you know, I think they're very different records, but the common thread is me and my songwriting and my performance. And so it will certainly be different. But I think that the thematic through line of making a trilogy based on soul, body and mind really gives way for an augmented experience of songwriting. I love kind of expanded storytelling. I love longer arcs of storytelling. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, huge Lord of the Rings fan, huge Philip Pullman fan. So I love it when you have kind of more material to draw from, to see a bigger picture. And just for, you know, from the point of view of creating interesting work, it was something that I hadn't done. I wanna be everything for you all the time, but I'm just a human being. I'm just a human being.
This is Human Being, from Katie Tunstall's new record, Wax. And I love the idea that the goal is to create a big body of work and love it all. What a great way to approach art and being an artist. And I personally am looking forward to seeing the final record in the trilogy. It could be like anything stylistically, right? But it will definitely be KT Tunstall. KT Tunstall is playing all over the UK and Europe in the coming months, and she's coming back to the States in May. You can find a link to her tour dates as well as a link to Wax on the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org. KTX is the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast. And you can also find a Spotify playlist there where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And as always, we would really appreciate it if you would leave a rating or a review for the podcast on iTunes or the podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you in advance for that. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.